My name's Johnny, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi.
I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad to be sober. I'm glad to be in a gathering of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to thank the members of the group who extended the privilege of me participating in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. My opinion has always been, and I hope it always remains such, that it's some type of a privilege to be allowed to come and sit in these rooms. I have never been able to get it through my sick head that I have a right to everything that goes on in Alcoholics Anonymous just because I was lucky enough to stumble into a room and get sober and stay that way. I consider anything that I am asked to do in Alcoholics Anonymous some type of a privilege or an unearned gift that I really have no rights to have, if you want to know the truth, because there isn't anything that I did in my life prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous that would entitle me to feel the way I felt most of the day and all day yesterday. It's just no way you can do that. I have to assume that this is some type of an unearned gift because I never did anything prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous but rip and run and roar and rip and destroy and maim and pillage and do all the things that people like me do who live in the streets for most of their life. I don't know why I'm an alcoholic. I only know that a little over 42 years ago, I came to in a cell in solitary confinement, a maximum security penitentiary, drifting in and out of total insanity. That was my last time out. The reason I was doing that is because I'd been sober too long. That's the way I end up without any type of medication in my system for any period of time. I end up crawling around on the floor in some locked ward or some locked place, drifting in and out of blackouts, insane blackouts. I know what insane blackouts are. I don't know what alcohol blackouts are because I never had any. I never had one from the very beginning. I was awake and aware of every single rotten thing that I'd ever done in my life when I wandered into Alcoholics Anonymous, and that was my problem. Because I couldn't sleep at night. I woke up in the middle of the night terrorized by the nightmares of my past. The unnamed faces of the people I destroyed in my selfish, self-centered stroll through this thing called life, looking out for me and mine and nothing else. And the sum total of that thing is that if you'd have come in there and said to me as I was crawling around on that floor, "What are you looking for?" I wouldn't have had a clue. I couldn't have told you. But I could have told you if I'd have been it myself and was aware that I was missing something in my life and had always been missing something in my life. And I didn't know whether I was ever going to find it, but I knew there was something missing that day in that cell. But that, see, I'd always known that. I've known that from my earliest recollection of life. I knew that there was something the matter with me. Well, I didn't know what it was. I got these things inside of me, this restlessness, this irritability inside of me, but I don't know those are the symptoms of this deadly disease called alcoholism because I don't know what alcoholism is. I just know that I'm restless and I'm irritable and I need an answer. I don't know what the answer is because I don't know what the problem is. So I begin a search. That's what I did. I just had this longing inside of me and this idea that somewhere along the line, I'm going to find this thing in life that's going to make me whole. Because I knew that I wasn't quite there. I just knew that. Nobody had to tell me. You know, I didn't equate alcohol or the lack of alcohol with that because everybody in my family drank whiskey. I mean, they drank it. I mean, they were drinking whiskey drinking people. I mean, they didn't fool around with it either. I mean, they drank it. You know what I mean? They drank it like you did Chocolate Thunder and then some. And they hung out a hell of a lot longer than you did. They took it to the grave with them folks. They didn't. I mean, they just gathered up on Saturday in my grandma's house on Saturday in that little town, Kansas, I lived in, man, they gathered up and beat the hell out of one another. I mean, it's Irish people. They didn't have any type of religion to hold their guilt down, so they just went at it crazy people, you know. They just get around and beat it. But I don't know about this. There's one guy raised up to see if he could recognize anybody identifying with that. I had this quirk inside of me. I didn't think anything at all about that violence. Matter of fact, I kind of thought it was neat that they were kicking each other around. You know what I mean? It's almost like a putting your foot in somebody's belly. It's like a spiritual experience. Or throwing a four iron through a cactus in Phoenix or something. You show me an alcoholic who ain't angry, and I'll show you somebody who's not an alcoholic. You know, you ever hear these people say, they come to AA, I came through the door of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I put the plug in the jug, and I sit down in that seat, and me and God together have rid me of my anger, and I just live in peaceful contemplation with my God forever and ever. Amen. When I was new, I used to go spill coffee on those people. And you'd be surprised how quick God gave them back their anger, for Christ's sake. My confusion was, as a child, was not the drinking so much. I knew I didn't want to drink, but I saw what they did to drinking. These people drank these whiskey and went to penitentiaries and did all this stuff and worked in those houses on the other side of the track. My aunt did. They did all beat each other up. I could see that. That was whiskey. I ain't going to drink whiskey. I ain't going to do that. I don't want to be like that. But what confused me was the same people who did that to one another on Saturdays would just gather up on Wednesdays and say, we love one another because we're a family. I don't know. I never ever uttered that word in my entire life prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, a long time after I was here. I don't know whether that, I found out later on in therapy that had scarred me, but I didn't know that prior to that. I just knew that I thought love was some type of a thing that you do. And if that's what love is, you probably keep it. And, my life changed one day sitting on the back porch of my grandpa's house in a little town in Kansas. And he was drinking whiskey out of a fruit jar, and he set it down and went somewhere, and I picked it up and took a drink of it, and my life changed at that instant. Because I'm an alcoholic, I didn't realize that time, and I realize I'm one of those alcoholics that, well, I am what the book Alcoholics Anonymous describes as a real alcoholic. I didn't know at that particular time that I had this uncanny reaction to alcohol that 9 out of the other 10 people in the world who drink alcohol don't seem to get. Because alcohol was such a wonderful thing like it is to people like me. It just relieves the madness for a period of time. Hits that switch in my head and says, I don't give a damn. I don't care what's going on around here. You know, it's fine. This is it. It's good enough right here. That's the feeling I got when I drank alcohol. But you see, that's not the thing that drove me into the gates of insanity and death and beyond. What got me is what happens to alcoholics of my type once I ingest alcohol into my system. Well, not before I drink alcohol, or not thinking about it, or reading the label on it, or rubbing the bottle. See, once I put alcohol into my system, I'm drinking to overcome a craving that's beyond all human understanding and beyond all human help. I didn't know that. Because when I drank alcohol, from the very first drink till the very last drink, every time I drank it, it happened to me the same thing. I took a drink of alcohol, and 3 days later, they pulled me out from underneath a bridge and stood me in front of a judge and sent me to the Hutchinson State Reform School. 20 years later, I took a drink of alcohol. They pulled me out of a car in Compton, stood me in front of a judge, and sent me to 20 years in the penitentiary. That's what happened to me when I drank. I got drunk and went places. Just travel around. I went from reform school to junior penitentiaries to nut houses. Now they call them treatment centers. I like nut house a little better myself. I mean, it's a little more macho. Hell, if you're going to be bad, you ought to be bad. I mean, don't quit drinking because you puke a little. Hang in there. Give it everything you got. Alcoholics Anonymous works a hell of a lot better when you run out of options. I gave everything I had. I threw everything into the battle and lost the battle and didn't know what I was fighting. I never had a clue. I never one time ever walked out of one of them institutions after being undrunk for a period of time and said to myself, self, alcoholics talk to themselves a great deal, you know. Self, do you realize how long it's been since you've had a series of those electroshock treatments? Why don't you have a drink? No? I never one time ever said to myself, self, why don't you have a drink of alcohol and go out and kill your baby brother? Why don't you have a drink of alcohol and go out and destroy your mother's life one more time? Why don't you have a drink of alcohol and go out there and destroy everything in your life and everybody that comes near it? Why don't you become so corrupt and so immoral and so degraded in life that your own mother won't even send you a penny postcard when you're locked up in a cell? Why don't you do have a drink and do that, self? Nope. I never one time ever took a drink of alcohol to get drunk. Alcoholics of my type do not take a drink of alcohol after being on dry for a period of time to get drunk. They don't do that. They take a drink of alcohol just to go, whew. That's why alcoholics of my type drink after being sober for a period of time. You see, what has become necessary for alcoholics of my type, if I don't learn to live in a world that I don't belong in with some degree of comfort, I'm going to have to drink again. No matter how long I've been sober, no matter how many people I sponsor, no matter how strong my sponsor is, no matter how much I love my wife, no matter how much I love my children and my grandchildren and my job, if I don't learn to live with some degree of comfort in that world out there that I do not belong in, even today, with some degree of comfort, I am going to have to drink again because I'm an alcoholic. I don't have any more choice about that than I do about flying around this room. Not at all. When I took that drink of alcohol, the drink took a drink, and then the drink took me. And the sum total, when I came to in that cell in solitary confinement in that penitentiary 42 years ago, there wasn't a single solitary soul upon the face of this earth that would send me a penny postcard. They were all gone. All of them were gone. But they should be gone. And I didn't have any right to have any of them back. I still don't have any right to have anything good and decent back in my life just because I was lucky enough to get sober and stay that way. Everything that's good and decent in my life is some type of an unwarranted gift that I have received from people like you sitting in rooms like this doing what we're doing today. That's all. It's no great mystery to me about Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not one of God's chosen people. I'm just a guy who came into Alcoholics Anonymous beaten into an absolute state of nothingness. And you picked me up and dusted me off and set me in a chair and said, if you do what we do, you'll learn to live with some degree of peace. But you're going to have to discover and uncover and discover a few things in your life. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. As I went to that first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and sit back there in the back row in what I lovingly like to call my throne of contempt. I sit there with my coat collar up and my shades on. Because I was cool. If I'd have been any cooler when I got here, I'd have probably froze to death, for God's sake. But I'm cool. If I'd had a hat, I'd have had it on backwards. If it had been today, I'd have probably had enough pierced armor on me to be a conduit for electrical storm, for Christ's sake. I don't judge. I just observe and report the fact to you. Guy said to me the other day, it's not very long ago. Guy said to me, he said, you've been sober a long time. People are always saying that to me. You've been sober a long time, haven't you? It makes me understand. Yeah, I have. You have to let me know. Oh, yeah. He said, has Alcoholics Anonymous changed, hasn't it? And I said, I thought about it. I said, no, how can you change this program of recovery, for Christ's sake? He said, well, what's changed? And I thought about that for a period of time. And I came up with an answer. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, the women wore earrings and the men had tattoos. That, the only thing I know has changed, for Christ's sake. You know, I moved in and sat down in that meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous that day, and I sit there in the back row, and like most newcomers, I sit and stared at the answer that I'd sold my soul for. But I don't recognize the answer, like most newcomers, because I don't know what the problem is. I don't know. And you, over and over and over again, for lack of anything else, you can't solve a problem, look for an answer to a problem if you don't know what it is. And I didn't know I was an alcoholic. If you'd have said to me, I come in the door, you're an alcoholic? I said, no, I'm not alcoholic. I'm looking for another group of people to hate. I run out of them, for Christ's sake. You will run out of people. I'll guarantee you that. You keep drinking. And it'll get every living thing you got. Then when it gets every living thing you got, it'll reach down deep inside of you and get the last thing that's of value to your life. It'll tear out your self-respect and tear out your soul and leave you a quivering mass of nothingness. And if you're an alcoholic and you continue to pursue that illusion, that's where you're going to end up. You continue to pursue this illusion, you don't seem to understand my case is different. And if you're an alcoholic of my type, that's the way you're going to end up. It'll get every living thing you got. You persist in it, it'll get you. Sooner or later, it'll get you. It grinds, but it grinds very slowly. But it grinds. Believe me, it grinds. See, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sitting in these meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. People talk to me about being sober. So my reaction to that, Alcoholics Anonymous got nothing to offer me. I'm as sober as you are. I thought sober was the absence of any type of alcohol or chemicals in my system. That's a state of undrunkenness. It's not sobriety. Sobriety is what's been demonstrated here today. That's what sobriety is all about. Love and service for one another. Staying sober with some degree of peace and happiness and being able to live in a world with other human beings with some type of degree of comfort and to be of service to God, to the people, and all about them. That's what sobriety, that's what Alcoholics Anonymous calls sobriety. The world, some out there, sometime in these drying out joints out there and these fleece places out there where they recycle drunkards all the time, think sobriety is the absence of any type of alcohol. Not sobriety, not the way Alcoholics Anonymous or my book describes it. I didn't know that. I thought I was sober. I was just in a state of undrunkenness, crazier than a loon. Man, I was nuttier than a fruitcake when I got here, man. I just sit around waiting for somebody to say something to me so I could attack them. And I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm sitting staring at these people. I don't understand what these people do. You know what these goofy people did? They got up on Sunday morning and drove 180 miles up those old back roads, bought their own gasoline, bought their own lunch, drove up there all the way, these people, four or five of them in a car, spent 2 hours talking to a room full of people who didn't want to listen to them. People like me who sat in the back row and made fun of them. Can you possibly imagine how very sick that is? Here I am sitting in the penitentiary. I don't know when I'm going home, and I'm making fun of people who are leaving in an hour. Oh, baby, but I'm hip. For all you new hipsters, I invented all that shit, baby. I was hip before it was fashionable. Matter of fact, I was so hip when I got here, the balls of my feet tickled me when I walked. I had great conversation with people like, wow, that's cool, baby. I call women, man. Hey, man, what's going on, baby? I don't know. I'm staring at this answer. I don't understand what's going on here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm like most people. This doesn't look like the answer to all the problems I got. I mean, I got a lot of problems. I mean, I may never get out of the penitentiary. I may go insane again at any moment and attack somebody and they have to lock me back up there in a straitjacket. I got problems. I can't sleep at night. I can't. I wake up in the middle of the night. I doze off through sheer exhaustion. I wake up with nightmares. My mother's face standing at my baby brother's grave while I'm handcuffed between two detectives and she's staring at me. My little baby brother. All this kind of people, nameless faces of people that I had destroyed. And my selfish, self-centered walk through life. And I can't blame that on alcohol or my mother. I did those things, and I knew I did those things, and I can't live that way. I don't know what to do. You know, some lady got up here and talked about almost going to blow her brains out. That's what happens to alcoholics who do not clean up the wreckage of their past, and they can't drink anymore. to kill themselves. Alcoholics kill themselves cold sober. If they die drinking, it's an accident. Because to an alcoholic of my type, according to our manuscript, our book Alcoholics Anonymous, is only a symptom of what's wrong with me. Alcohol does something for me. That's why I drink it. It relieves me, justifies my action, and wipes away the nightmares. It gives me that really don't give a damn anyhow attitude. But I don't understand that these people talk, I think I'm sober like these people. I'm not sober like these people. I'm crazy. I don't understand. I don't understand them for another reason. These people are givers. I'm a taker. Takers don't understand givers. Takers only understand takers. That's why they all hang out with each other. That's why they all look alike and act alike and seem alike. They're all takers. And the givers, they all gather up and they look alike and act alike and give alike. And there's such a conscious separation between the two that is astounding. And if you're an alcoholic of my type, and the only way you'll find that out is to read our book, particularly the doctor's opinion, discover what an alcoholic really is. And if you're an alcoholic of my type and you don't cross over the invisible line in Alcoholics Anonymous from a taker to a giver, you're going to die drunk. Very simple. If you're an alcoholic of my type and you do not cross over this line from being a taker to being a giver, you're going to die drunk. There's no way to beat the deal. But you see, if you're not an alcoholic, what the hell difference does it make anyhow? Your life's not on the line here. It's just another place to hang out until you find some other place to hang out. I'm just talking about alcoholics. I don't know anything about other types of alcoholics. The book was written for alcoholics of my type. The program of recovery was written for alcoholics of my type, by alcoholics of my type, so I could live in a world with some degree of peace so I don't have to drink. I don't know that when I'm new, because I don't even know what's wrong with me, for Christ's sake. I said in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous one day, and a man wandered into this meeting from the street, a man that I knew did 23 flat years in the penitentiary and gave me the whole key to life, something that nobody ever knew about me. He said very simply from a podium. But you see, if I hadn't been in an AA meeting, I'd have missed it. And you'd have a different speaker here today, and David would have another sponsor. Because I'd be out there with the losers, telling them, AA don't work, I was there. I like it here in Folsom anyhow. It's a little more peaceful. Down here shooting marbles by the river. Take that, Aggie. You get in my rocking chair with my straw hat and say, the good old days when we was robbing banks. Amazing. He said that you, where I was sitting, he looked down at me. I don't know whether he looked right. It seemed like he was bearing down on me. He said, you don't have to live like this no more if you don't want to. He made no conditions on that whatsoever. He says, you don't have to do it like this no more. No conditions on this. That was his statement. Nobody had ever told me that. They've been telling me since I was that high that I shouldn't drink these things and swallow these things and smoke these things and shoot these things, but they never told me how to live without doing it because they don't know how. They don't know how people like me have to live so I don't have to do it. They don't know because they don't have to live that way. You see, they just live that way normally. They just tell me, don't drink. I'm not drinking. I'm as physically sober when these people are telling me this for 20 years as I am right this moment. As physically sober. And I'm sitting there, look, I know they don't know what the hell they're talking about. I'm not doing it, and I'm crazy, for Christ's sake. I want to attack. I'd dive across the desk and attack psychiatrists in straitjackets. Cold sober. And the guy's telling me, alcohol is your problem. If he gave me a drink of alcohol, I wouldn't attack him, for Christ's sake. But no, you know what he did to me? He said, you're overreacting, son. Guard? I think he needs to hear some more of that funeral music in that room where they have those electrodes. Marched me out there, and 3 days later, I'm back at his desk sitting there, and he's telling me, you shouldn't drink. I don't know how not to. That's the story here. I don't know how not to. I don't know how not to. I don't know how to live without doing it. And he told me after the meeting when I asked him how to live. This little guy I knew. He gave me the greatest piece of information that you can give a newcomer in Alcoholics Anonymous. He told me there was a book called Alcoholics Anonymous in the library for me to go get it. Maybe I could go home and read it, and maybe I would find some part of me in it. He'd pray for me, say, that maybe I could find me in it. I've been a student of our book from that day to this day. I haven't found anything in that book but me. I haven't looked for anything else. I sat in a room with a man one day doing what our program of recovery says is the fifth step. And the greatest single event that's ever happened to me in my life, up to and including this moment, happened to me in that room at that time with that man. Oh, my children being born and my grandchildren being born and AA and coming here and getting sober and all these things, they're all great, but they're not the most important thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. What happened to me in that room was very simple. I heard myself say to that man that I was an alcoholic. And from way down deep in here, there came a freedom that I carry with me to this very instant. Because I know what's wrong with me. I know exactly what's wrong with me. I'm an alcoholic, and I suffer from a disease called alcoholism. I am not an alcoholic and anything. When I was an alcoholic and something or other, I couldn't have this program. And the reason I couldn't have it is I separated me from you. I'm not like you. I'm a little better than you. I'm a little hipper than you. I'm a little slicker than you. But I'm not like you. When I became just like you, an alcoholic, or at least like the people who wrote our book, I was given the great privilege of participating in this program of recovery. A great privilege. I get to do this. Don't have to. I get to. The difference in the two words is tremendous. I don't do things that I have to. Because I don't like to do things that I have to. I get to. I get to live this magnificent program of recovery. And I get to fulfill the conditions of it. And I get to live by its principles. And I've been given so much, I just can't hardly stop talking about it. I have been given much here. From that moment on to right this very moment, it's over 40-some years ago, I have never, ever wanted to be anywhere else doing anything else. Everything in this program I have wanted to do. Everything. The steps. I walked out of that penitentiary on the fourth day of June, 1961. Armed with the first nine steps of my program of recovery to the best of my ability, to a world that I didn't know anything about, had never functioned out there since I was 7 years old without some type of a chemical additive in my system, had never held a job in my life, I didn't have a driver's license, I didn't have a Social Security card, I didn't know what it was like to cash a check, I didn't know what it was like to have a bank account, I didn't know what it was like to live in the home with somebody else and pay the bills and work, I didn't know how to do any of those things. But I was armed with something far more important than all that. I had the first nine steps of this program of recovery incorporated in my life, and I had a dream. You know, that as that lady was singing that song to David in the background, there was a man back there saying, I have a dream. That man also said when he said he had a dream, he says, I've been to the top of the mountain and I've looked at paradise. I ain't going back into the valley. That's exactly the way I feel about it. I've been to the top of the mountain and I have looked at paradise. And I ain't going back to the valley. I walked out of the penitentiary with that idea. But you see, I knew where paradise was. I knew it was in these meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said to myself, if they will give me the great privilege of going and sitting in their meetings, I'll do anything they ask me to do. I didn't think you'd ever ask me to do anything. I never dreamed beyond my wildest imagination that anybody would ever ask me to share my experience, strength, and hope with them. I never dreamed anybody would say to me, would you help me? Would you be my sponsor? I didn't think I was even worthy enough to sit with you good people. I thought maybe you'd have a chair by the door somewhere where you let people like me sit, because I'd never seen anybody like me. And neither did many of you. And I went and sat in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I watched my mother drink herself to death here. When I'm enjoying the very fruits of this magnificent program of recovery, I watched my mother drink herself to death. My mother, who I loved dearly. Powerless to do anything about it. What I learned from that is a very simple lesson that people like me, egotists like me, need to know. I don't have the power to get anybody sober. You know, David called me a sponsor. I don't have the power to keep David sober. I don't have the power to get him drunk either. I don't have any power to keep me sober, for Christ's sake. Where would I get any power at? You know what this book says? The book says I'm powerless. The book says it. I didn't say it. The book says it. I believe what the book says. The book says I'm powerless over alcohol. I'm powerless. Now, you think because I've been here a few days that I've accumulated some power somewhere? You know, we were going home to the meeting the other night, and this young lady's car stopped on the freeway. She had a dead battery. She solved that by getting a new battery. I can't get a new battery. I'm stuck with the old one that's powerless. I don't have it. I ain't got nothing self-starting here. You can't put quick charges on me, get me to run for a day or two. So where do I get the power? The book got the answer to that. It says I've been given a daily reprieve. What's a reprieve? It's a stay of execution from a death sentence. I'm an alcoholic. I have a death sentence. That's it. I'm condemned to death. I'm more condemned to death, basically, as an alcoholic than a person with AIDS. You want to know the truth? My disease kills more people than all the combined diseases in the history of the world. And yet I have this thing. It kills more people today than anything anybody knows about. And it kills people with them dying down there, say, I ain't got that. I ain't got that. I've been to AA. AA don't work. How do you know? You who've been to AA and it don't work, how would you know AA works? You ain't never tried it. You never tried it. I'm telling you, if you ever tried this thing that I've been trying here for 40 years, you never want to go anywhere else. I mean, it'll put you in such a state of euphoria that you cannot believe how good you feel. You sit around and cry for no reason at all, like some wimp. Macho people don't cry. You sit around, all of a sudden you got tears in your eyes. God, nobody sees this. You find yourself doing strange things that macho alcoholic people don't do. You'll be concerned about somebody else. God, where did that come from? It's a slow process of things here, of turning the problem from the inside to the outside. The great reason for sponsoring people is very simple. As long as I'm listening to their crap, I'm not worried about mine, for Christ's sake. You're out there. It's not. Do you know who gets all the benefits of sponsoring people? It's a sponsor. It's amazing, isn't it? David stays over 20 years sponsoring people. And I would have got up here and say, David really helped me. You ever stop to think how much you've helped David? Ever stop to think how much David helps me when I'm out there wandering around in the world and I see all this AAA, which is almost AA. The majority of Alcoholics Anonymous in the world is called AA Light. The way I call it, more dances and less meetings. Most of the people in Alcoholics Anonymous, a lot of meetings in Alcoholics Anonymous, people think that there's meditation through Prozac. I'm here to tell you right now, if you're taking medication, you ain't sober. Don't tell me you're sober. But I don't believe it. And I don't care if you are depressed. I don't care if your therapist told you. I haven't taken any Prozac or drank any near beer either in over 40 years. And I had every type of mental imbalance you could think of. There ain't nobody was ever any more depressed than me. You can't get much more depressed than wanting to kill yourself. That's about the height of it. Do you know that the last psychiatrist that labeled me clinically insane that I ever visited says, you're clinically insane. And he gave me a certificate. And he says, you know, young man, you'll never be able to live outside of an institution for the rest of your natural life without some type of medication because of your violent nature. I've lived outside of an institution for 39 and a half years without anything in my system stronger than an aspirin. So don't tell me about your funny little, I don't have to work them steps because I take pills. Why would you have to take an inventory if you can swallow a pill? Why would you have to go out and make amends if you can swallow something? Go to somebody and tells you you don't have to do that. Where if you're an alcoholic, like I'm an alcoholic, you do things like that not because you have to, because it's a matter of life and death, and it's my life. That's just basic how simple it is with me. I've had a lot of help since I've been sober and alcoholics. Now, I had a man by the name of Norm Alpe who was my sponsor for 22 years. He didn't ask me. I didn't ask him to be my sponsor. He told me he was my sponsor. And he didn't drive up nicely to me and say, oh, get in the car. He said, get in the damn car. Oh, okay. One night I made a terrible mistake because I didn't have a car. He wouldn't let me drive one because I didn't have a driver's license. He said citizens like him had a right to be protected from jerks like me. Where you get all these answers at? I told him. He says, didn't know. One night I come by to pick me up to go to a meeting, and he had the window rolled down. It was a little hot, and I stuck my head in the window, kind of slick like I was, and I said, where are we going, Norm? He says, you ain't going nowhere, jackass. And he drove off. And when I confronted him, I said, you just drove off and left me there. He said, what business of yours where we're going? I'm taking you to an AA meeting. Why do you have to know where it's at? Well, he says, who are you going to report to anyhow? You're going to get in my car. He was cruel. He told me one night at a meeting, I was at a meeting one night at a coffee break, some guy tapped me on the shoulder and told me he heard me talk and what a miracle I was. It took me about 15 minutes to become too big for anything in the world. I mean, you take an egotist like me and start patting me on the back, it doesn't bother my back, it just makes my head get bigger. And by the time the coffee break was over, I just floated in, sitting in the same seat where David's sitting, because Norm's sitting over there. And I floated down that chair, and I looked out the window. I'm checking for my star. It's out there somewhere. I know there's a spaceship coming back to get me. I'm checking it out. Norm's watching me. On the way home that night, we're on a road and a freeway, and he's driving a car, and I'm still staring out the window. I ain't saying much. I'm in a spiritual trance, is what I'm in. I'm full of myself, is what it really amounts to. And he said, jackass, are you smoking that stuff again? I said, Norm, I don't think you're going to understand this, but I'm a miracle. He slammed on the brakes, damn near ran into the divider, and he screamed at me. You're what? I said, I'm a miracle, Norm. He said, where do you get this nonsense, Johnny? And I said, a guy just told me that in AME. How are you going to argue with that? And he gave me a real sound piece of advice that's kept me in good stead for a long time. He says, you're not a miracle, jackass. Alcoholics Anonymous is the miracle, and you're just a small part of it. Now, I don't know what it does for all the miracles in Oklahoma and the outlying areas. Most of them aren't here. They're home meditating. I tell you what it's done for me. It's kept me small enough to stay here. That's all. Kept me small enough to stay. It's kept me small enough to take my seat on Monday nights in my home group and put the chairs away. Kept me small enough to say, okay, if you want me in AA, fine. What do you want me to do? I mean, you want me to come to Tulsa, Oklahoma? Or you want me to go to Paramount, to the snake pit down there, where there's five people who don't want to listen to me? Or what? What do you want me to do here? That's what it's done for me. You can't imagine what an egotist like me would do if I started to believe I was a miracle. Let your imagination soar. We'd go out and hire some Greyhound buses. We'd take off for Waco. I could do it right this time. I have an ego like that. I know that. That's why I have to have a sponsor who's stronger than my head. That's why I have to be in 4 or 5 meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous a week. That's why I have to sponsor people. That's why I have to work with people. That's why I have to do all these things. It's not because I'm a wonderful, kind, giving person who's close to God. I'm an alcoholic. And self-will run riot, my book talks about. And I get to do these things, and it keeps me in a state small enough where I don't have to drink alcohol, or I don't have to get carried away and become too good, and too big, and too spiritual to come with you. I don't have to reinvent Alcoholics Anonymous to satisfy and soothe my ego, because I know I'm not a miracle, that I'm just a small part of the miracle. The miracle was here when I got here. The miracle was created in 1935 by two men. And the miracle of this thing is that one alcoholic talks to another alcoholic and gets them to take actions that are totally unrelated to their problem, that they don't believe in. That's the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous, that somebody somewhere in this world will say to you, I understand how you feel, and you'll believe them. That's the miracle here. And if you're an alcoholic, it'll only be in an AA meeting, because only alcoholics really understand how you feel. Only alcoholics. Because they've been there, and they've done that. My old sponsor, I don't know, David gave me that little picture of a path. And the caption of that picture is, narrow is the path and few are on it. And I think Alcoholics Anonymous sometimes like a path. You know, it says thoroughly followed our path. And to me, it's like skipping down a path, a road out there. You're new and you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to stay sober. And you come to this fork in the road. And my sponsor's standing at the fork of the road. If you have a sponsor, that's where they'll be. Why? He said, I've been down there. I said, what's down there? You've got to know these things. You know, I mean, it's really important to know that. He says, there's a 30,000-pound gorilla down there, Johnny. Sounds like a Mercedes-Benz to me. Pern diesel, too. No, there's a gorilla down there. So I'll tell you what you do, Norm, being that my case is different. You go down that way. I'll go around this way. I'll meet you where the road comes together again and give you a ride in my new Mercedes. He didn't say, oh, no. He said, okay. I go down that road. I run into that gorilla. It beats me up, throws me back out on the path, and I'm battered and bruised and crawling around, and there's that old skinny-legged sponsor of mine standing there. He don't say to me, see, I told you so, dummy. Jackass, get up off there and go to meeting. He said, nothing. I don't know what to say. I say everything. Oh, no. God, no. I ain't never going down that other road again, Norm. I'm going to follow you, Norm, wherever you go. You lead me. I'm following, Norm. I've had it. I'm whooped, Norm. And we come to another fork in the road. What's down there, Norm? Oh, Johnny, same gorilla. Oh, Norm, can't you hear her singing? She's singing sweet lullabies. Come to me, my melancholy baby. Oh, Norm, you go down there. I'll be around there to pick you up in what I used to have was a beat-up Mercedes with her. And we'll learn about relationships on the other side of the path, Norm. Okay, John. Down there, whip. Throwing back out on the path again. God, I'm battered and bruised. Old Norm standing there looking at me. And one time, because I got beat up, one time too many times, because I'd been self-will run riot and Alcoholics Anonymous one too many times, and I'd suffered too much guilt and too much humiliation and too much remorse because I had been less than what Alcoholics Anonymous expected me to be, or I expected me to be. I looked up at him one day and I said, good God, Norm. Good God, why can't I just look at your scars and believe you? Why can't I just take your word for it? And why do I have to constantly go down there and get beat half to death, for Christ's sakes, on these self-centered ideas of mine? He says, you really want to know? And I said, yeah, I really want to know. I'm tired. He says, one of these days, you're going to be standing at the fork of the road. And some goof is going to come tripping down the highway to you saying, which way do we go? And you're going to have to tell him down here. Because he's going to ask you, what's down there? And you're going to have to tell him there's a 30,000-pound gorilla down there. Now, you better hadn't read about that gorilla. Listened to somebody tell you on tape. Or discovered it in the manuscript. You better been down there and fought that damn gorilla. I said, why? He said, because if that newcomer goes down there and finds a 4-pound chimpanzee, he ain't never going to believe anything you ever say again. He says, in Alcoholics Anonymous, what we share here is our experience, strength, and hope. Because without experience, there is no strength. And without strength, there is no hope. And so when you gather up in meetings and you celebrate 20 years of sobriety, you're celebrating 20 years of experience of staying sober and doing things in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's all you have here to share. That's why sponsors seem to know what you're into, because they're alcoholics who've been through that experience. And so we share it with you. The reason that you have a sponsor, because if you don't have the experience, you can take him to your sponsor. And so it goes on and on and on. So if you're new here in Alcoholics Anonymous tonight, for God's sakes, by no wild stretch of the imagination am I a consultant, a counselor, or authority on a program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have all the answers for everything. I do have promises for you. I promise you that if you will give yourself simply to this simple program and do the outline and follow the actions into our book of experience called Alcoholics Anonymous and follow these people who have opened up the path for us, you will be engaged in things that you know nothing about whatsoever. You will start to realize things that the promises make to you. You will know peace. You will know how to live in a world with peace and with comfort, and you will find that Alcoholics Anonymous is doing exactly for you what alcohol used to do. Only it has gradually taken toll. Those are the promises that I make to you. If you're persistent about this illusion, many of you will pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. This illusion that somehow, someday, you're going to control and enjoy your drinking. But if you've had enough, I can only say to you, come and join us. What you've seen here today is an example, good, bad, and different, that 20 years of Alcoholics Anonymous will help you live a clean, decent life. You saw a man and his lovely wife. You saw a host of friends who've traveled from places. Not only the people who sponsors him or he sponsors, but other people, friends who've come around to see and join in this celebration. And what you've seen here is a celebration of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not a celebration to Dave Bray. It's not a celebration to me or the people he sponsors or the people who take. It's a celebration to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the one that gets all the credit, because of ourselves, we can do nothing. Our co-founder, Bob, said, of ourselves, we do nothing. It's he who does the work through us. Always take the time in your life. Always take the time in your life to reach out your hand for the guys coming behind you, because none of us would be here if somebody hadn't. And I thank you all for allowing me to be here and celebrate this birthday with Dave, and I'll be back. Thank you. All right.